Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Job. To the book of Job, and I'll be speaking to you from Job chapter 33. And I want to consider two verses. Job chapter 33, verse 23 and verse 24. Let's read these two verses together. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man God's righteousness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. Now we find here in Job chapter 33, a young man named Elihu, who is preaching the gospel to an older man that you're all familiar with, that you've all heard of, a man named Job. I want to focus. Elihu has a lot to say about the glory of God and the majesty of God and the sovereignty of God. But I want to camp this morning and focus on two verses. He tells us in these two verses much about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Elihu tells us about men who have been sick being delivered by a ransom, a payment. Now, there is always reason for every act of grace which God performs. Every act of grace that God performs, He has a reason. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory. There is always a reason. He acts sovereignly. Our God does. He's sovereign in all things, but He also acts wisely, and therefore He has a reason for His action. We read in Ephesians 1 that God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will and purpose. God has a reason for delivering sinners from their sin and pardoning and justifying sinners. God always has a reason for delivering and saving His people. But the reason's not found in them. The reason for salvation is not found in the sinner. The reason is found in God Himself, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will and His own purpose. He said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I will do it. Now let's look at several things from this text. When God is prepared to deliver His chosen people and to justify and to save His people, save His elect, His sheep, He always sends a messenger. Notice verse 23 of Job 33, if there be a messenger with him. Now, I'm sure this has reference to God's minister, God's preachers, whom He gifts and whom He gives the message and revelation of Himself to preach the gospel to others. For God uses means to call out His people. It pleased God by the foolishness, what some would call foolishness, to save His people from their sin. But primarily, this refers to the great messenger, if there be a messenger. Primarily, this refers to the great messenger of the covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great interpreter. He's one among a thousand. You see, there's just one God and one mediator between God and men. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, let's consider several things about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 23. He is the messenger. He's the messenger of the covenant. He's the messenger of the mind and will and purpose of God concerning salvation. There's one mediator between God and men. Who is it? It's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, God said long ago, way back in Deuteronomy 18, God said, I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. God sent us a messenger named Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, God Himself. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You see, our Lord is no amateur Savior. He's sent of God. He's no self-made Savior. He's anointed and sent of God. God has ordained and sent Him to be the Savior of His people, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was sent of God, and He's the messenger of the covenant, the eternal covenant of grace and mercy revealed only in Himself. Not only is He the messenger of salvation, the messenger of the covenant, but He also was called here the interpreter. And He is. He is an interpreter. Now, an interpreter must understand two languages in order to interpret. Our Lord understands the language of God because He's one with God, because He is God Himself. Yet He also understands our language, for He became flesh and dwelt among us. Such a high priest became us, who was tried and tempted and tested in all points like we are, yet without sin. As the great interpreter, He interprets not only to the ear, but to the heart of the sinner. God who hath begun a good work in you. You see, salvation is a heart work. He understands the language of God, and He interprets the language of God not only to our ear, but to our heart. Our heart. He knows our language. He knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He is the messenger. He is the interpreter. And then notice this thirdly. He is one among a thousand. One among a thousand. Who can be compared? Who can be compared unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is the equal to Him? Where is the one that's a Savior like Him? Where is the one who can justify sinners? Well, there's none but Christ. There is none like Him. He's the only just God and Savior. He's the only wise God, our Savior. There is none like Him. He said, I am God, and there is no other. Now listen to me carefully. If there were 10,000 other Saviors, and there's not, but I'm saying if there were 10,000 other Saviors, I would have none but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sent of God. He's God's interpreter, and He's the only Savior of sinners, and He's altogether lovely. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, secondly, notice this. When the messenger comes, He reveals the righteousness of God. When God is pleased to do a work of grace in the sinner's heart, He reveals, first of all, He reveals Himself as the righteous God. He makes us to understand that we're not deserving of His favor, but rather deserving of His righteous indignation, justice, and wrath. Now, you read through Scripture, and this is the conversion story of all those whom God saves. He reveals unto the sinner Himself as the righteous, just God. You listen to David as he prayed in Psalm 51. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. David knew that he was a sinner, and David knew he deserved the wrath of God. And that's the place where God brings us to when He does a work of grace in our heart. We willingly plead guilty and take God's righteous side against ourselves and stand in amazement that God has not yet sent us to eternal condemnation. That's what repentance is all about. It's taking God's side against myself. When God says you're guilty, we agree. We're guilty. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let me show you something else in verse 24. Notice verse 24. When God is pleased to show unto a sinner His righteousness, then He is gracious unto him. Notice when God is gracious to the sinner. When the sinner is humble, then God reveals Himself not only as righteous, not only as just, but He reveals Himself as merciful and as a loving Father. No debts are forgiven until they are owned by the sinner before God, that we're guilty, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mercy is for the miserable. Grace is for the guilty. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ died for such as we are. He died for the ungodly. That's when God is gracious to us, when He shows us something of His righteous character, and then He reveals unto us His grace and mercy revealed in Christ. Now, notice how God is gracious. It is through the messenger, Christ Jesus, that God is gracious. All salvation comes by the way of grace. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word grace in its Latin form can also be rendered gratis. A gratis. What is gratis? A thing free from cost. All of God's mercy to a sinner is gratis. It's free. He never sells His grace. He never sells His mercy. He always gives it away. He never asks for payment. God supplies His own motive to be gracious. And His motive is found in Himself. What but grace could put away our sin? What but grace could make us whole again? What but grace can make us children of God? Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for us. His grace toward His children will never change. When is He gracious? When He reveals Himself unto us. And how is He gracious? Only in Christ. Let me give you something else. Here's God's deliverance. Then He is gracious and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. Here's God's almighty deliverance. Now, the pit is often used in Scripture as an emblem of distress and misery, an emblem of bondage. My friend, our soul is in the pit of sin and corruption with no means of escaping. We have no way of delivering ourselves from the pit of ruin, the pit of death, the pit of corruption. God is the only one who can speak in power to command our deliverance. Again, I refer to what David said in Psalm 40. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock, set them on the rock, and established my going. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. This is the work of God. He delivered us from the pit of ruin and corruption. Jonah had the same testimony. You remember Jonah swallowed by the whale? He said, Thou hast brought my life from the pit, O Lord God. He said, Salvation is of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. God's deliverance, that He, when He brings us out of the pit and saves us in the Lord Jesus Christ, this deliverance that He has for us lasts eternally. He doesn't pardon today and then condemn tomorrow. Those whom He saves, they shall never be condemned, because there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, lastly, let me give you this. He gives the reason for our deliverance, the reason for His grace unto us. He said, I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. Now, my friend, there's no other way of salvation but by and through a ransom. And my friend, that ransom is Christ Himself. He provided the ransom price through His blood. He said in Matthew 28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom. That's payment for sin. A ransom for many. There's no other way of salvation but by this designated, appointed ransom in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who God saves, He saves by this ransom provided in Christ. He is set forth in Scripture, and He is set forth in time as God's propitiation, God's covering. He set the Lord Jesus Christ as this propitiation, as this payment for our sins, to declare God's righteousness and God's justice in Christ, that God might be just and the justifier of the guilty. This ransom is a price paid. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with incorruptible things by the precious blood of Christ. He bought us. God bought us with His own blood. This ransom is a price paid. This ransom is a covering provided. A covering provided for our sin. David said, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How are they covered? By my works, by my efforts? No. By and only through this ransom provided in Christ. This ransom is a price paid. This ransom is a covering provided. This ransom is reconciliation with God in Christ. Our sin have separated us from God, and the only way back to fellowship and unity and union and harmony with God is in Christ. And this is what He did at Calvary. He reconciled His own unto Himself. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. My friend, when the ransom is paid, and that's what Christ did at Calvary, He paid the ransom for His sheep, for His people, for His elect, and when the ransom is paid, the sinner is set free. Deliverance through a ransom. God is gracious to sinners because of the ransom price that the Lord Jesus Christ gave on behalf of His people.